Well, Dean, I asked him to take the service this morning and share what happened in New Zealand. And I always kind of like to encourage this opportunity, like this, to see a team that has gone together as a unit and actually hear what has actually gone on. People, you don't realize that the fruit that they bear is accounted to your account if you've been a giver into this ministry group. And so I'm excited this morning. And so, Dean, take off and do what you want to do, and if you make any mistakes, I'll write them down, and don't worry, I'll get back to you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As you can hear, my voice is coming back. Some of you say you're going hoarse, but not. But we've been on the road, and we just got in this morning about 5 o'clock. We were down in Springfield this morning ministering till late last night and then get out of there. You know, it had to be the weekend at the time change, you know. So I lost an hour coming back here, but God is good. My son went down with me just for that purpose, and I let him sleep. And I said, as soon as I'm done with the service and get out of here, and we didn't get out of there until 12 o'clock last night, I got in the car and went to sleep, and he drove all the way down here this morning. So, and we'll be leaving tomorrow to go to California. So this is a stop in between. It's kind of funny. Your home is the stop in between of something that's going on. You got something to say? Oh, gave her the fall asleep this morning. Yes, you're right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, we're thanking the Lord that we're here to be able to share with you and you that gave into the ministry in the sense of us going to New Zealand. It was more than we could ever imagine. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, I just want to thank you because you gave into something which you probably think, oh, I'm just giving sometimes. But you really gave into something that is changing a nation even to this day. Did we go there to change a nation? We went there to do what the Lord wanted us to do. And in doing what the Lord wanted us to do, this nation is changing. You guys, there is right now a great we would call a revival among the Maori people going on because of the men that came on this trip. They did their part. That's all they had to do was their part. They didn't have to do everything, but they just had to do what God told them to do. I'm going to have them come up and introduce them to you. So can you guys come on up? I've got, Garen, can you grab that chair for John? And put it just right over there at the end. And the rest of you just line up right behind me. No, that's okay for right now. Yeah, you guys are pretty good. This is only 7 of the guys that went with me. There were 10 in all that went. John Bernard over here at the inn, I'll start with him, is a guy out of Portland, Oregon. He goes to a church down there. But whenever I go to Portland, Oregon, or the Oregon area, John is the guy that comes and kind of helps me minister and helps do the books and things like that. And God led me to ask him to go on this trip. It was a stretch for him. It was a really stretch in his faith and everything that you could imagine. He's 70 years old. And at 70 years old, you would think that the Lord is saying, okay, you've done enough. But God told John, you ain't done enough. You're going with us. And he got to go on the trip with us. With him were two other Johns. All of the men that went with me outside of our church, except for Brian, were called John. So it was easy for us to remember their names because we had 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. John Hart is a member of a church down in California called Oasis. Me and Marilyn was just down there, not this weekend, last weekend, ministering at that church. And he went with us. He was our drummer player. This morning we're substituting him with our own drummer player in this congregation, which is Miguel. And so he'll be playing the drums for us this morning. The reason that we have this music up here, because when my pitcher went over to New Zealand saying I was coming, they assume I was bringing me an African-American gospel choir. So they were very surprised when we got off the plane, and they were looking for all these African-American guys to get off. As a matter of fact, they didn't even recognize us. Rusty went up and talked to the guy, and the guy said, and he said, "I'm with Dean Braxton." So they were shocked that this was not an African-American choir. And at the beginning, they really proved that they were not an African-American choir. And so as time went on, God blessed them, and they sang really well. But so John Hart is one of the guys, and then another guy named John Ilawa. And John Ilawa is a Samoan from Oklahoma that speaks Southern. So it was really funny when he opened up his mouth and you could hear that Southern accent come out of him. But he grew up in Texas and in Oklahoma area. And those are the two guys that went with us outside of the church here besides Brian that are not here today. But John, like I said, has gone with me well on the trips in Oregon, and he does a lot of work there with me in Oregon. Aaron Krager, you guys know, he's a member of our body here. Aaron is usually my right man. Person, handman on these trips. He's gone on all the trips with me outside of the United States, and he knows, he's really valuable to me. I can just look at him and he responds. Do you understand? And you need someone like that. He's always looking to see if I'm getting ready to give some type of eye contact or some kind of nod in my head, and he moves just like that. The other one was Tim Butler. You know, Tim was the last one we asked to go. We started a year and a half ago, started asking guys. And some guys would say, yeah, they were coming, and then they wouldn't come. Tim was the last one to ask, and he was so significant in the movement of God over there that it helped open up doors for us to minister to the Maori people, which is now, like I said, impacting a nation. Then we have Rusty here in the middle. He's pretty mildly dressed this morning because Rusty... Rusty truly is a hippie. Seriously, I mean. And so we had him come over there. And he attracted a lot of people just by the way he dressed. And so he came with us. Then we had David Greco. You know, I was praying, and I had Aaron Greco go with me to Peru. And God said, I want you to take Greco. And I thought, okay, it must be Aaron. I'm going to go ask Aaron to go with me again. And David was up here doing his guitar like usual. And God said, no, David. So I went to David and asked him. And he said about a few days before, God had told him that I was going to come to him, ask him to go on a mission trip. You know. And so he went. He was the only single guy we had go with us. And we made sure that they knew he was single everywhere we went. I know that my son and his wife, Sarah, which is David's sister, were praying that he would find a wife there, but he didn't come back with a New Zealand wife. So I'm just putting it out there, man. This is your home church. They got to know that, okay? And then there was Rick Teal, which was very valuable in going on this trip. Rick literally was our driver. He knew how to drive on the other side of the road, you know? And he literally got in the van and drove us everywhere. And we moved very quickly. Just to let you know how fast we were moving, we were there really 13 days on the ground. And in 13 days, we did 23 meetings. Okay? And the guy named Mike Norman, there were times that he literally would not let my guys eat. Because the power of God was moving so much, he wanted his people to experience it so much that he didn't think we should eat. He just thought we should get to the next appointment and give what we had to the people about God, and then from there move to the next appointment. You can eat some other time, but it wasn't during his time. Am I right, you guys? And so Rick is the one that drove us everywhere. So he was the one that was in that van driving us all over the northern part of New Zealand, or the Northland as it's called. And then you have Brian here. Brian is the one that God led to videotape everything. And to videotape it and to be able to put it back on YouTube so that people back in this country could see us literally doing it as we were doing it. And so we're going to show videotapes in between the talking that each one of these men talk. It's going to be about a minute long, but it's going to let you know that what we were doing there, who we were with, and how it was going. But it was all because of Brian coming up with videotaping it and putting it online that we could do this. There's so much that was videotaped that, you know, for us, at the moment, we were just videotaping. We didn't know that God was moving as powerful as he was. You know, so even us going back and experiencing this, we are like overwhelmed because of the power of God moving in these people's lives. We have found out one of the traditions of the Maori people there. And if you don't know who the Maori people are, they would be like the Native Americans of our country. They were the indigenous people of New Zealand. And God opened the door for us to go into their community. And minister to them. We had no meetings when we went. There was no meeting set up for us. It all happened when we got there. That's Jesus. Okay, that's Jesus. All right. And even when I tell the guys we did 23 meetings in 13 days, they can't believe it. Am I right, you guys? Because it didn't seem like that to them. All we knew, we were being used of God. So I want to make sure you understand that. But one of the Maori traditions, and we learned a lot of them, was that anytime anybody got up to speak, you sealed it with a song. So I'm going to open up, and as I open up, the guys are going to come, my African-American choir behind me. And don't worry about me singing. Most of the time I sat down on the only African-American guy was sitting down watching them sing. You know what I mean? They're going to come and sing one of the songs that we sung whenever we went somewhere and we were introduced. Because once we were introduced, then we had to sing a song. And Rusty is the one that played on the guitar. Miguel, where are you at? Can you come up and sit here? If they don't sound good tonight or today, you guys, all right, they did sound good there. All right, they did really sound good there. So I'm going to give it into their hands. They're going to take it from here, and praise God. Yes. I'll just lip sync over here with John. Well, you sing in 23 meetings and see how good you could after a while, too. Well, we're going to get started in showing some things. I want to show the first video. Before we do that, I want to just let you know, when we first got there, I had 10 guys. How do you house 10 guys in a nation? Do you guys hear me? You know, together. That's usually a big task. But God opened up the door that everywhere we went, that the guys stayed together, and we didn't pay a dime for where we stayed. So we're entering the country of New Zealand, and we're being welcomed in by the Maori people. And being welcomed in by the Maori people, they have a tradition. And so we didn't really understand it at the time, but we didn't know how significant it was that this thing took place. This really opened up the door for us to be able to share the gospel among the Maori people there. So we have a short one-minute clip of the video of the opening of a guy named Brad, and he's kind of like educating us to really what's going on in this opening of this of welcoming us into New Zealand, into the land. So go ahead and show that. No, stay up here, you guys. Or sit on the stairs. You can sit on the stairs. That's Aaron's, the back of his head.
Rahu Hong Tamata Kihaya Kira Kitihao Ina Tamata Oteao Mori Mairatani Rutiti Titime Para Mete Pare Otea Norea Inotitena Kaluya Geneta Hine Kuto Katua Geneta Tau Kitabami Tavatu Nay.
Praise the Lord. That was Brad, and he was welcoming us in. He educated us to the nation in there, and we just happened to be there by the grace of God on the day that they were celebrating what they called Waitangi Days. That would be like our 4th of July. And what that day was the signing of the treaty between the British people and the Maori people. And it was the missionaries that first came to that country that literally orchestrated that treaty. And here we are entering that land at the same time. It was huge, you guys, because we literally went on that day, that the day that it was celebrated, up to Waitangi, to the very spot where the treaty was signed. And that was up in the north end. But God knew what he was doing. You know, one of the things that we don't want to leave out here is that even though we went there, we had lots and lots of prayer going on here for us to go there. The doors would not have opened if that the prayer covering was coming from here. My wife, and I want her to share a little bit, for about what the women did when we were over there. They got together at least twice and spent some time in praying for us. So can you come up and share about that, Marilyn?
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it was a blessing to be able to pray for these guys while they were gone. And I appreciate the prayers of the saints here who lifted them up while they were away. And, you know, before they left, I thought, well, why don't I get the wives together and we get together and pray for them while they're away on this trip. And, you know, it was so encouraging, and just to see the fire of God in the women praying for the husbands. And then we'd always say, we pray for our husbands and we lift them up. And David, because, you know, and so... We never forgot you, David. Praise God. But we just thank God. You know, I just thank God for the unity that came about through the prayer and the willingness of the wives to get together and everything. And I'm very grateful. And I just want to thank all the wives today. And I appreciate you. And it was just such a great experience being able to get together with you. And I don't want to say a whole bunch about it, but God answered prayer And he's just, you know, was doing great, mighty things there. And most of all, you know, I think one of our biggest prayers was just to pray for unity with the guys. You know, I don't know how it is when guys get together, but I know how it is when women get together, and you just need a whole lot of unity.
Praise the Lord. And we have several of the wives here this morning. Can you stand up, you wives that are here? We have Catherine, which is Rusty's wife back there in the back. Rusty, I'm sitting right here. Yeah. Okay. Catherine. And then we have Kelly here, that is Brian's wife. We have Sonia, which I say is one of my sisters, which is John Bernard's wife. Donna's there right there. She's Aaron's wife. And we have Jenny over here, which is Tim's wife. And it's something that your husband goes way over there into it. Oh, Nancy, you're way back. I ain't going to say it. You know what I ain't going to say. Nancy's in the sound booth back there, and I ain't saying it. You know what I mean, huh? But it's something to have your husbands go over to a foreign country. And again, we really couldn't tell them how much we were going to do or what we were going to do. So they had to believe in faith that God would take care of us over there, just as much as we had to believe when we were there. You guys hear what I'm saying? So those prayers were very much needed. We're going to show another video. This is the first haka that we saw when we were there. They want to go right now, but wait a minute. Let me just... A haka is a ritual warrior spiritual dance that the Maori people would do before they went into battle. The Christians have taken it and started using it as their way of worshiping the Lord as they're battling spiritually in warfare. So these boys are getting ready to do it. They're at a Maori a mission school, and they're taken from all over the country of New Zealand, brought together so that they can go to the best school in New Zealand so that they become the leaders of their nation. And God put us right in the midst of them to impact them. Is that God or is that God? Okay. So we're not only impacting the New Zealand as it is now, but God put us in the midst to impact New Zealand as it goes on. So you're going to see these boys do this haka. And you got to remember, this is a war ritual for them. So it's very intense. Done. We can't understand the language, but they're doing it for Christ, and they're doing it in the sense of telling Satan, you better watch out. That's what that's all about. You know, the first guy I want to come up and speak is the guy that I said is usually my right-hand man on these trips, and that's Aaron. Aaron, you got about 5 minutes to tell them what you want to say.
Oh, family, I love you all, and I just, it's good to be back home, but you know, The real big impression for me when we were over there was seeing God put everything together. I mean, when you sit there and you step onto a shore, you've got no meeting set up, and all of a sudden God starts doing His thing and everything just falls into place. You know, one of the big sayings that they have over there is no worries. and you very quickly, God impresses upon you, no worries. No matter what you face in your life, no worries. Because God is there to provide and take care of you, whatever you do, so long as you're walking with Him. To sit there and for me, I mean, for me, one of the biggest things was seeing each one of these guys with what they did and how they grew and how God worked with them. I just absolutely loved it. You know, sitting there and seeing us take and step through and just being ready to move when God was really working with us and just being ready to go with it. It was just tremendous to me. You sit there and then you get over into a foreign country and you don't know what to expect. And this has almost become the norm for us, I think. And that is when you get there and you get amongst other believers, all of a sudden your family grows because they become, each one of them, Aaron down here on the front row down in Peru. We have family down there that's part of our body, that those relationships will never go away. Never, ever, ever. Because we all have the same Father. We may have different ways of doing things. But one of the things that God impressed me on this trip, you saw the haka here, you know, and these guys would do it, and there were a couple of other traditional deals, you know, hakas like this, that happened during the trip. And one of the things that God started impressing upon me before we left was not to put him in a box, not to put each other in a box, and not to put other believers in a box, because he will draw them to him in his way. We can have our preconceived ideas of how we should act in church, we should act amongst one another, but all of a sudden we get over there and the other customs are feeding in, and God is right there in the middle of it as well. They don't have to conform to our way of thinking necessarily on our customs and traditions, but you can still feel the anointing and the presence of God in the whole thing. But to me, the big thing was seeing God just put it all together, and just everything clicked. Everything clicked. There were no real issues at all, and it all just happened the way he wanted it to, and it was just good to see it.
Praise the Lord. And like I said, I've taken Aaron on several of these trips, and he is the man that, and everyone can tell you, you know, everyone looks to him, because usually I'm focused on ministering or moving forward, and Aaron's the one that gets all the details done. So, and anybody knows, he's the one that everybody looks to. When they put the schedule together, they could tell me, but I always had Aaron. I said, Aaron, stand right by me, because you got to hear this. Because I'm just there, and he's got to hear it, and he puts it together. So I really thank God for Aaron going on these trips with me, and even the ones in the future that he's going to go on. The next one is us singing on this next video. It's us singing, because we got up in the morning, and we did a traditional devotion. Where someone here brought a word from God, scripture-wise, and then someone told their testimony. We know things about each other that no one else knows. And we always said, this does not leave this room. And so we made that pact, that many of the things that were said among us about our testimony and how God had brought us to him, we would never tell people. So don't come up and ask about me or ask about somebody else. It ain't going to happen. So go ahead and show the next one.
Thank you.
actually start singing that song that we sung before, Holy, 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 and the guys would just get in the spirit and we would just go. The next guy I want to come up and talk is Rick. Again, he was the guy that drove us everywhere. And many times when we all were sleeping in the van, Rick was still driving. There were times that my eyes were open and we were on the other side of the road. And I was thinking, good thing ain't nobody coming around these corners. We named him Killer.
I was all alone, all by myself in the van. But the one thing I want to make sure that to bring out that I want to stress is this is not the end result of a school assignment on what we did this summer. This was actually something that we were sent to do. Every one of us got called out. We'd been called out to do something where and everyone stepped forward into what they do, because one of the first videos that ever got out happened to be of me at one of the first meetings that we were in which God used me to pray for a guy with diabetes. And from that on, it was every single meeting after that, it was somebody stepping forth, God using me, God using me. I got out of the way. It even got to the point that we were together so much, I could not use the word I anymore when we prayed, because we had prayed together so often, it was always we. We take authority over you right now. So when it came time to, one day it was my turn to videotape, until all of a sudden Dean said, hey, put the camera down, you need to get up here. When he dropped me in front of the guy, it was because to pray for his son, who was in a mental institution, who he only got to see for 15 minutes once a week, and we prayed for him to get him released from Satan. Because guess what? Satan is alive and well. He's working hard, and he's coming against everybody he can. And it took that force of us together, of being one unit down there and being able to come against him that way, to where people were changed. And every single time that we came up before somebody, it was always something new, to even to the point where one that kind of got me excited is have a 9-year-old girl walk up to me and just flat foot look me right in the eye and say, I want baptism of the Holy Spirit and I want to speak in tongues. And I'm thinking, wow. Of course, her parents are there praying with her. It's just awesome. Just there's so much more. And just the love that these people have. This is not when we always talk about indigenous people and the local people of the land, we're not talking about anyone backwards. This is a fully integrated country. These are people that love God with all their heart. They have a desire and a love for God that just needed to come out. And being part of this body, to go down there and help those bodies. We went there to serve them. We didn't go in with any idea or any preconceived notion or any plan that what we were going to accomplish, because almost every time it was just always a little bit different on what we did. But the one thing that was always evident was we were there to serve the people. We were there to serve whoever would come up. And it was I couldn't even wait to the time when we got to pray for those that would come up, that got to hang around to us, that we could pray for them. Talk about every one of the experiences, the one that still knocks me is I walked into a meeting, and that's the first time that I ever felt the power of God flow through me so much that it almost put me in a chair that I had to sit down. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know who it was for. But I had to grab a hold of David there to sit down. And he said, hey, is it okay? And I said, I don't know. I just know they're pulling on me and somebody needed something and they got it. And all it took for me was to walk in the door. I don't know who it was. I don't know what it was. We moved so much. We didn't get to backtrack or find out if every need was met, because I'm firmly convinced it was. Because we walked on God's word. We stood on the word. We took the word with us. We took this body with us. Everywhere we went, it was just a group, and it was a group that was doing anything they could to make sure that we met the will of God as we were operating in that thing. The only thing it took a while before I could rely on the guys to, when I were backing or anything, to look the right way to tell me there was traffic back there. But it got okay. After a while, those just kept quiet and just said, oh no, okay, just back up, it's okay. There's nothing coming either direction. But
yeah, praise God. You know, Rick was used mightily in a number of ways to touch a lot of people there. You know, and he is right. You get used to looking one way and then the other way, but because traffic would come this way first and that way, you had to look both ways. So Rusty and the guy he was with, John Hart, decided that one of them would look one way and one would look the other way. Praise God. Can you show the next one? This is one of the places we ministered. It's a Christian school, and you'll see the guys praying for people. You can see they're just lined up, waiting to be prayed for, you guys. Praise the Lord. Saying that kept on going on for a long time. We're just showing you a minute of the video, but kids after kids after kids. This Christian school had K through 12th grade. So it was a very vast amount of kids there, and a lot of them came up and got prayed for in that day. And these guys were the ones that did the majority of the praying. My job was to be the attraction. Guy dies, go to heaven, come and hear him. These guys were the job of making sure that when they came and heard what I said, if they wanted any of their needs met, that they would come up and literally lay hands on these guys. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And this was in the Christian school. Today, Brian told me that school, literally the guy that's there, there's a revival going on in that school right now because of what happened, you guys. God is changing things there, you guys. You know. And the next person I want to come up and speak is John. John Bernard is a guy from Portland, Oregon. He goes to a church down there, the Agape Ministries. And he's a guy that helps me usually in the Oregon area. So here, John.
So do I get 15 minutes for all the other two Johns? Doug? First of all, I want to thank my father for allowing me to go on the trip, and then I want to thank my wife for allowing me to go. Sonia, thank you. And Marilyn and all the women, thank you for your prayers. God had a plan, and you people in this congregation were part of that plan. You prayed for us. You gave into the ministry financially. I consider myself a man of faith. Sonia and I were baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1983, and most of our teaching was Kenneth Hagin Sr. So last summer, Dean went to my home church back in Kansas to speak. I set the meeting up. I didn't get to go. And I was really disappointed that none of the finances didn't come in. And so when Dean asked me to go on this trip, it was a lot more money. And I said, yeah, I'd go. But honestly, I didn't really feel that I didn't have the faith for it. But God had a plan. He had a plan, and he got me there. And it was because of you people and your faithfulness. And I thank you so much. Dean said two things to us. He says, be flexible and be willing to serve. And that was the keynote of the whole thing. As long as we were flexible and were willing to serve, God had a plan. And it would just move magnificently. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Yeah, he kept on telling one of the Maori guys that I love you and I just love you. And you can see he's a man of love. And the eyes would just show the love for this Maori guy. His name was Paul. And Paul testified in his testimony when he told us that how that's impacted him. The Maori people have come not to trust people of European or white because they've been betrayed so many times. But because of what John kept on saying, it broke the walls down for this man that now he knows that everybody is like that, is of that European or white color. Is that good news or is that good news, you guys? You know? And so, and he told us that. He let us know that the last day, that because he kept on saying, I love you, Paul, that broke down his walls to let others come in and be able to minister to him that are not of the Maori people. Praise God. Go ahead and show the next video, which is a, I don't know what it is, but it'll show. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, this one is very important. To you, it's probably, you're just in the house taking nails up. That taking up the nails, fixing a John Deere mower, opened up the whole Maori nation for us. Each and every one of us cannot express what that did to the Maori people, because they came and really saw that we were there to serve. Do you understand what I mean? This man's house, let me see, Brian, can you share? Because I can share, but I want to.
Remind me to come back to that video, otherwise I'll lose everything I had beforehand. This trip, really, for me, like John Bernard, was a huge, not high enough, stretch of my faith. Because I work in construction, I don't get paid, I get paid vacations, but they never come when you want them, it's twice a year. So mine had already come and gone, so I didn't have anything in my savings whatsoever. And this is 2 weeks of being gone, 2 weeks not working, 2 weeks of no income, plus raising almost $4,000 to cover the 2 weeks of not working and the trip and the extra money we needed. So this was a huge, huge step and stretch of my faith. So I had to come to the realization, one, the bottom line is God wanted me to go. And to get to that point, some of the days, the mental attack of not getting support, not raising the money, possibly going and my family starving while I'm gone, I would have to literally pray in tongues all day long while I'm working to keep my mind calm. And then trusting that the money would come in. And at one point, John, towards the end, was deciding, or thinking about, I should say, didn't decide, was thinking about bailing out because the money wasn't coming in. And maybe he'll tell you, but I mean, when he that come across our messages, it really rose up within me in anger, because we decided we were going as a team or we're not going at all. One team, one body, one people. So when he was thinking about bailing out, I mean, it really rose up in me in anger. So I started, scripture wise to me, because I was in the Army Rangers, you'd leave no one behind, no one. So that's kind of where I was coming from. So I started bringing out some scriptures for him, and really laying it out that it was an attack and we fight till the end. You don't give up before we fight. The fight hadn't come yet. So, and it really came key later as we got over there, because I think I was the only one who didn't actually raise all their money to go. I didn't have all my money before we left. And as we're going, we get into the airport. He's like, hey, did you raise all your money? I'm like, no. He goes, here, have this envelope. Someone else, when he decided to stay, he got most all of his money within a day. One day. And then someone gave him an extra $100, said, I don't know what to do with this. Here, you take it and you bless somebody with it. I got it. So in the airport, he gave me that $100 plus some. So I was still like maybe a couple hundred short of what, our goal was. But it really didn't matter. As we're going through the trip, at one point in time, because I did the finances also, I had $20 of my own money. And I also had $1,000 of the group's money in my wallet. So I had $20, and I'm carrying $1,000 of the group's money. And that $20 lasted me a long time. Because people like John would say, hey, here, go buy yourself dinner and bring me back something. Or I would be in line to buy food, and someone in front of me, like John Ilawa did, that was in the video there, we would go out to eat. I was going to pay for his. He paid for mine. Everybody was always buying me stuff. I didn't really understand. Or another time when after the first week, you know, you had to wash your clothes. They collected up all the clothes, and somebody went and did it. And, you know, like everything else, if you saw a need, you just took care of it. You didn't say, okay, I'll just pass by that. Somebody took care of it. So when they brought back my clothes, they handed me $45. I'm like, they said, oh, this must have been in your pockets because it wasn't in our pockets. I'm like, no, I know there was not $45 in my pocket. They're like, oh, just go ahead. It was in your pocket. Go ahead, take it. Like, all right. When the Lord blesses you, you just take it. So I took it, and there was several other times. Like, I still had that same $20 in my pocket. And then another guy came up later. He goes, actually, it was John again. He goes, hey, how much money you got? I'm like, I got 20. He goes, here. Gives me another 50. And it's the same guy who was almost going to not go. And here he is blessing me time after time after time after time on the trip, and I had no lack, you know, of the money. So another thing for this trip is it actually tied together for me a span of 30 years of my life. I did a lot of crying over there. Because when I was 14, an evangelist came to our church, called me out of the sanctuary, and had me come up, gave me a word. The general gist of the word was, people have called you and said you are an outcast and a loner, and that you don't fit and you don't belong. He said, but I'm going to make you fit, I'm going to make you belong, and I'm going to use you in a greater way. Can't look at my wife. And I'm going to use you in a greater way than man ever thought possible. So in one of our devotions, John again sings a song, and I'm thinking, man, I need to back up. After he gave me that word, this evangelist starts singing a song. So in one of our devotions, John starts singing a song, and I'm like, man, I know that song. I have heard that song before. And at the same time, it's like John is singing this ear, I hear that evangelist singing the same song in this ear. And it was like there was no distance in time between the two. And when I figured it out, it was literally 30 years. And come to find out, he said that song came off of a live worship song entitled Live Praise from New Zealand. It gets even better than that. The person who sang the song was the same person who picked up the phone after our original contact bailed on us. This guy picks up the phone and says, hey, I'm in New Zealand. What can I do to help? The guy's name was David Garrett, who is the guy who sang the song of Live Praise in New Zealand, who was at the airport to pick us up. I mean, what are the odds of that ever happening? God had a plan. We got to meet David Garrett, went to his house, got to hang out with him, had a meal with him. They call it tea. It's never tea. It's always food. Lots of food. Does that mean my 5 minutes up? Oh, it's way up? Really? Oh, the video. The video was me pull. Okay. Otherwise, I'll just keep on. Got to cut me off. As you can tell, it was exciting times.
Oh, praise the Lord. And that was my job there, too. So, praise God. And my wife and them prayed for unity. There was no arguing, no fighting, no nothing. The goal was, if you wanted something, make sure the other guy got it. That was the goal, you know. And that's how every one of these guys acted. If they wanted something and it looked like it was the best for them, they made sure the other person got the best. Is that good news or is that good news? You know, I go more into that video, but I think I'm going to leave that for you, Tim. Would you talk about that during your time, or you have other things you want to talk about? Okay, never mind. We'll talk about the video. Was like this, you guys. There was a guy that had named Mike Norman, and Mike rented out his house, and it was a meth lab in that house, and he got infected by the meth. Okay,
He had a choice of showing us around or cleaning up his house. He chose that day to show us around. There was an inspector coming the next day to inspect his house to look at what the insurance was going to be like. He chose to make sure that we were taken care of, literally because of a vision that Tim had about a John Deere tractor that was broken down, and Mike had a John Deere tractor that was broken down, and we had a John Deere man that could fix it. This opened up the door for us to be able to go over Mike's house. They fixed the tractor. We got to take the nails out of the floor. And because of that, it showed them that we were there to serve. Do you understand? And they let down all the barriers. The other thing that happened is Rusty and Aaron, the house that they gave us to live in, didn't have any plumbing underneath it. And because of the copper, and Rusty and Aaron dove underneath that house and put the pipes back together underneath that house. And because of that, that was the door that opened up, or those were the things that opened up the door for us to be able to serve these people. So this next video is us at the north end of the island. The north end of the island literally has two seas that come together, the Tanzania Sea and the Pacific Ocean. And you literally can see the different colors. The Pacific Ocean is darker, the Tanzania Sea is lighter. And you see the line, you guys. You just see it. Well, this is a sacred place for the Maori people. In the old days, they believed all their dead went there to go to wherever they went. Some believe they went to hell. Some people, they went back to Maori. Literally, Hawaii. Because they came from Hawaii, and they knew that. But the Christians believe that they went to hell. And they wanted us to go up there, hold a service, and just pray over that area. And you're going to see us at the north end right now. Cut it, because they're not going to be able to hear because of the wind. But that is one of the most sacred places of the Maori people. And we got to go up there and literally pray over that area in the name of Jesus. It's huge, you guys. And one of the guys there, he was taking a picture. His brother is on Parliament, and he has a big influence in the nation of New Zealand. And he literally, later on, came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so the next person I want to talk, because Rusty it went with us, and he did a lot of the music, and Rusty can tell you how he was changed.
I know Brian took some of your time. So.
Okay, well, I was thinking a lot about what I was going to say, and there's not much time. I do want to say that when you go on a mission trip, people want to hear that people got healed. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They got brought back into fellowship, and they got born again. I know because I personally prayed for them myself. But I was probably the least of the people that prayed. These guys prayed for that many times more than I did. I was doing, I don't know what I was doing. But what I want to talk about is you heard about a man named David Garrett. And I think this is important to know. David Garrett had a lot to do with the way we worship with music in our church today. He had a lot to do with the charismatic movement and the way we worship in churches. Like, you don't see hymnals behind your pews anymore. That had a lot to do with David Garrett. This man, since the late 60s, had a publishing company named Scripture and Song. He produced probably 50 songs that we all still sing in church today. One of them I still play is called I Exalt Thee. And then around in the early 80s, he came out with a really popular album. It's called Praise the Name of Jesus. Now, this went worldwide. It sold about 50 million albums. Anyway, this guy, David Garrett, is the guy that contacted Dean and said, how can I help you? And this guy, and so anyway, he brought us in to the nation. Okay, but there is something else that's more important. In 1986, David Garrett got a vision from the Lord. And what it was is called culture. And the Lord was redirecting his ministry to go to the indigenous people of the world and tell them it's okay to worship God according to your culture. Now, this is big. Because how it's been in the history of this planet is the white cultures from Europe have went all over the world and conquered the indigenous nations and genocide some of them and brought in their Orthodox Christianity religion and turned off a lot of people because they were a conquering people. The white people were. And so this happened all over the world. And so David Garrett got this vision in 1986 to go to the indigenous people of the world, and he lived in New Zealand, and so the Maori people were real important to him because they were the indigenous people of his homeland, to worship God according to their culture. Now, what this means is you don't have to dress like we do in the United States or in Europe or nothing. They can dress and they can worship God according to their culture. Those hakas you saw, which are an old warrior thing, those are actually Christian people. Those kids were Christian kids, and that the words they were saying were Christian oriented. Matter of fact, that last guy you just saw, that was Paul Waihongi. That thing, after he got done with that hockey, he said that wasn't for you. That was for the demons in the area, because he wanted to clear the area so that we could say the prayer over that area and over New Zealand. So I think this is important because I've been involved a little bit with a dean going down to some native tribes in Southern California. And my heart has been for indigenous people all over the world to worship God according to their culture. And why I think this is so important, because he's not just the God of the white man. He's the God of all people. You know, there's so many wonderful varieties in this world, you know. I mean, the cultures, the rich cultures from all the places all over the planet. And a lot of these places, like the American Indians and the Maori, have had prophecies and visions. Like the Maori people knew of the Father. They were waiting word of the Son. And when the missionaries come in, they accepted him. I mean, New Zealand is a huge Christian nation because these people, the Maori people, heard the word, the good word of God, and they received it. And also, you heard Aaron Auer when he was up here. talk about that the Indian were the American Indians were looking for the Book of Heaven. Anyway, I thought that'd be important to share. David Garrett is not the famous violinist. His publishing group was Scripture and Song, and now his publishing group is New Sound Music. New Sound. Yeah. And anyway, he is very instrumental. And after this, Dean told him, which this man is a spiritual giant in this planet, and has just a heart for God, just the humblest man you could ever meet. Dean told him, says, now that we have done this, we've actually opened a door for him to go into his own country to minister to those people, which is a huge thing. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise more, Lord. We could say more, but I want to give the other guys some time to talk. I want to go ahead and skip the next video, so don't do the next video. I want to go ahead and let David talk because he was impacted greatly. Still single.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Every time getting up, every time we got introduced, they always threw that out there. But it was awesome getting to minister with these guys. That was probably my favorite part, being up front, front of the churches, just the prayer lines, lots of people coming up. It was just really powerful. We had just moves of God, like every service, you know. Lots of lives were touched. Lots of needs met. People just, all kinds of stuff. Like, we all individually were there for the individuals that came up. You know, they all had different stuff. Like, Rusty, he talked with a guy about alcoholism, like, one of the last nights. Like, that was a really powerful thing. he said, the guy himself, he said, I got set free. I'm set free from that, you know, and he didn't have to worry about that. So did he get saved that night too? Or he spoke in tongues, and his girlfriend was, she was all excited about that. You know, lots of stuff. All these guys, we got all tons, two and a half weeks of, you know, testimony after testimony of all the meetings. And, yeah, it was just a really, really powerful time. And, yeah, I got to step out of my box a little bit, you know, just from playing the guitar to, like, praying with people. And the first time, it was tough. You know, it was really, really, really tough. You know, I hadn't done it before. Nobody held me by the hand and, like, tried to, like, show me how to do it, you know. And, but it was good. It was a great change. Beautiful country. It was just awesome seeing God just really move, you know, open the doors for us, like just in such a powerful way. And some of the funnest times were hanging out in the van, just driving through the country and going to the next meeting, stuff like that. And one of the things, yeah, like last time the Singapore guys, they all spoke and they all talked about how much closer they felt. And I was, you know, you don't really understand what they're talking about. Now on this meeting, now I know exactly, you know, what they're talking about with these guys. Some brothers now, really, like we really went through something, you know, something really powerful. And yeah, we all got to know each other like really a lot better, you know, and got to see some, like in our devotion time, seeing guys cry, you know. I was tough. I toughed it out. I tried not to. But yeah, it was awesome. It was an awesome privilege for sure. No.
Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, one of the things is David told us his testimony, which was really great. But it was funny when he first started out. He said, "I was born, and then I got off the plane in New Zealand." Yeah. But God has really moved through him in such a way. He got to pray for the youth in most of the nations, the churches and things like that. And we saw a lot of people change. Like he said, it's 2 weeks of testimonies. We saw the healings, the baptism, the deliverances, the saved, people getting saved. That was all there. You know, I want to go ahead and do this. I'm looking at this. I want to go ahead and do this last video. Then I want Tim to come up and give you what he has to say. Remember, he's the pastor's son. I put him last for purpose. That way, if anyone gets upset, I say, "It's the pastor's son. He did it." No, I wanted him last. So if anyone complains, I say, "Hey, look, there it is right there." He's a butler. You know, he does the same thing. He's a butler, you know. But this is the... this is the end of the time we're there. This is our last night. This is our last meeting. And just like you saw a haka at the beginning by these kids, we ended where we started. We started in that place, toured all of the north side or the north end of New Zealand, and we ended in the same place with the same boys. Got to pray for every one of them. Every one of them got hands laid on by these guys up here. Every kid got prayed for. And this is the future leaders of the nation of New Zealand, because that's what they're being brought there. They're being brought there to be trained how to run their nation. Okay. And these guys got to lay hands on them. So this is them in the last video. Nancy, can you do the last one? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And not just the good eating that you cook in the ground, but the aroma and the love and the joy and the passion that comes from a people that cry out to the Lord, to the nations, that Jesus does live. And even if it's all the way underneath the earth, he's still there. So thank you. So the boys now prepare to send you away with a hug.
Oh, wonderful. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I remember that is, even some of us here say, well, that's kind of weird. But they probably think some of the things we do are weird, too, you know. You know, because of the way we praise our Lord or give glory to our Lord. But that really is a war type of position that they're taking against the devil. Okay? And if you're in the midst of it, you've just experienced the power of it, you guys. It is more powerful than anything. And it wants you to go out there and just knock that Satan all over the place. It really does. It just builds something inside of you to say, Satan, you ain't got a chance. I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm coming out here to destroy you. And I'm going to have Tim come up and do the last little bit. Tim, I'll just have a few words afterwards, about two or three. So I say take your time.
I'll be sure.
You are Butler.
In closing. No. I get four of them. He's had three, so now I get four. So no, anyway, Dean asked me to go, and I was thinking to myself, I said, what can I do? I just didn't see myself as, you know, what I could do. I didn't see myself going, you know, at first, but then I kept knowing deep inside the Lord was like, you're going. And the one thing I did have was, it was earlier I had a dream, and in this dream, I think I told Dean, it was a long time before he even asked me. And I had this dream, and I was walking down an alleyway, and all these trees were falling. And then I saw this clear pond that you could see to the bottom of it and grass growing. You know, it was a heavenly thing. And then what happened a week before we left to go to New Zealand, what happened was we had that ice storm. And I have a lay-down yard on base down an alley, and all the trees were falling everywhere. It was horrible. And the Lord, just the Saturday before we left, the Lord said to me, because I never knew what that was about, the Lord said to me, there'll be a storm come just before I called you to do what I want you to do. So he reassured me that I'm doing the right thing, because I was worried because there was so much stuff to be taken care of, and the Lord provided the people to take care of it for me. And so I was able to go, and just life-changing, I'm telling you. Every person here, and what the Lord really shared to me is I felt honored how the Lord used me and with all my team here. It was just, it was beautiful. Everyone here has got a wonderful testimony. And that's what the Lord shared to me when I was there, is that, you know, we have a testimony. And we got to share our testimony with these people because they're really hungry for it. And I can go on and on, but I'm telling you, and Curtis, yes, Curtis says, don't tell me, it's hard to explain, you know, because he went to Singapore. It's hard to explain things, but he said, just talk to me after you get back. And yeah, I know what you're saying now. We're tight. We're tight here now. And it's a wonderful experience, and I'll end it there, but it was a wonderful time, and we all grew in the Lord. And the one thing I do want to mention, though, in closing, one of the meetings we were at, the Maori leaders, they were actually sitting behind us in the second row, and this is pretty important. And Mike and Paul were real excited about this, but we didn't realize what it was. So when we come in, we did the hongi. They greet each other. You put your nose and your forehead to each other, and you greet like that. It's a personal thing with them. And so when we came in, we didn't think nothing of it, the whole team, because we all followed suit, you know. And all the Maori leaders were sitting in the second row, and we greeted them with the hongi. You know, being a white European, doing that's a big deal, because they always are talked down to, you know, by the white people they were talked down to. But we brought an equality with them when we did that, and they were all excited. But we didn't know, lo and behold, they all get born again after the at that service. All the Maori leaders got born again that service, and we didn't even know. And Mike and Paul, they were excited, you know. I mean, these are the leaders getting born again. It was pretty great. There's lots of testimonies. You know, each individual here has a testimony, and I'm telling you, they were used in a great way. So, here you go, Dean.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we went pretty long today, and I, you know, want to apologize for that. But I wanted the guys to have a share because you sent them. You gave the offerings. You gave the time. You put the prayers in. Because of that, a whole nation is being impacted by Jesus Christ right now. Again, did we go to change the nation? No, we just went to do what Jesus Christ wanted us to do. It is changing a nation. Do you hear what I said? You know, and myself, just to let you know so you can keep on praying for me, is that, you know, usually I don't get to go back to a place because usually there's other places that are always asking me to come. I have lots of invitations all over the world. And they asked me to come back to New Zealand. And I prayed and I heard the Lord said, I want you to go back. And I started crying, just like almost. Because I know what that means. That there's more work that he has for us to do there. Now, there's several in this church that I've gone to because this time I'm doing something unprecedented that I don't usually do. I'm taking wives with us. Some of the guys are going to return with their wives with me. They've already agreed to do that. And some of the people in this church, I've gone to them individually and asked them to pray about it to see if they want to go. That is one of the things I really believe that me and Marilyn bring to Bias Word. Because of the ministry that we have, Pastor, we get to go out into the community and serve so many people. A lot of times what we have here, we don't know how rich it is. And so we have an avenue that we get to open up for the people by His Word to be able to go and share the richness that we get here at this church. We just impacted a whole nation by the things that we have been given through this ministry here. And, you know. And I think that is one of the reasons that the Lord has placed me in this body, is to be that avenue that many of you get to take what you get here that you sometimes think is the norm. Use it out there and see how powerful it really is. And the guys up here shared that. So you'll be hearing more about that. We'll probably be going back in October. And just start praying now because we're going to the southern end of the island. They're planning already. They're excited. They have all kinds of things they're putting together. And we'll probably do what I'm going to be there for a month. So that means I'll probably do over 100 meetings, you know. And the team will come for 15 days, so they'll do at least 50. So and God knows this. So pray for us because it's, again, people from Bias Word that we're asking to go. One of the couples, I won't tell you who it is, they were telling me, oh, man, I wish Dean would ask us to go to New Zealand. I really want to go to New Zealand. And the Lord told me to ask them. And I went up and asked them, and they both said yes right off at the bat. And they were just complaining to their I won't say in-law or somebody like that, that Dean never takes women. He doesn't usually take women. And here it is right outside the box. And they're excited about going. So we're going to start meeting for that on a regular basis, the team, and it's going to be couples. Because I really believe that God is taking the women this time because he really wants to minister to the women in that nation of the Maori people. That's really what he's doing. So I want to give it into Pastor's hands and thank you for your time. I know it's late, but this is what you guys have done. You've been praying for it. God is doing what you want him to do through the people that are a part of this body here, and the doors are opening, and so here you are.